I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. This Day in History, May 10th. On this day in 1775, the Second Continental Congress convenes in Philadelphia, later agreeing to issue paper currency for the first time. As the 13 colonies readied for war against England, the Continental Congress was the functioning body that attempted to coordinate all the activities necessary for breaking away from the mother country, forming a new government, and preparing for a long and very challenging war. In 1801, the Barbary Pirates declare war on the United States, an event that followed years of violent interactions between those in Tripoli and North Africa, who aggressively attacked and looted ships on the high seas, and demanded ransom to allow them to sail to freedom. Aside from some difficulties with France, the conflict with the Barbary Pirates was the first real war that the newly formed United States would face as a nation. And in 1940, Winston Churchill succeeds Neville Chamberlain as Prime Minister of Great Britain. Churchill was a strong advocate for actions against the Nazis during World War II, and later famously proclaimed that his nation would fight aggressively to defend itself and prevail. He would lead the nation successfully through the war. Rotary International is a global organization that is dedicated to helping people and communities in a variety of ways. Many people know the term Rotary Club. They're present in every major city and hundreds of small towns across America. Rotary clubs meet weekly to plan the many projects they pursue, including assisting needy people, efforts related to helping children, seniors, and other persons who need assistance. In fact, Rotary clubs are involved in an enormous number of beneficial projects and activities, many of them fun and exciting for their members and families. Bob Listerman is a longtime member of the Longwood Rotary Club in Chads Ford, Pennsylvania. They meet weekly at the world-famous Longwood Gardens, where they discuss and plan all their activities. Bob's with us today to talk about their many projects. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, James. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure. How long have you been with the Rotary Club? I know you've been with them for a while. Tell us about when you joined and how long you've been there.
I transferred in February of 2004. I was a member of a Rotary Club prior to that, and basically just enjoy the type of work that we do. So it was a quick decision for me to get involved with the Longwood Club about 13 years ago now.
Well, a long time. And was there anybody in the club or anything in particular that drew you to the Longwood Rotary as opposed to any of the other groups?
I liked basically the most of us pick our Rotary clubs based on where they meet and what time of day. That's how we make our first decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was no different in that. Mm-hmm. I liked the idea of a morning club and it served both my business and my philanthropic needs.
Now, when did the Longwood Rotary come into existence? How long have they been around?
The Longwood Rotary is actually the daughter club of the Kennett Rotary Club, and they started in 1997 in answer to exactly what I mentioned, that there was members that wanted to have a breakfast club, because the Kennett Club at the time was meeting in the evening for dinner, and they have now been meeting for lunch in beautiful Kennett Square.
Mm-hmm. And was the Kennett Club kind of an offshoot of something else, or did they just spontaneously start there in Kennett?
Well, we actually all have our roots back in 1905 on February 23rd, when Paul Harris came together with three other predominant businessmen in Chicago. And now we have 1.2 million members and 35,000 clubs in over 200 countries. In fact, we have representation in more countries than the United Nations does. But to answer your question, from around here, we're basically all have our lineage tied to the Philadelphia Club.
Interesting. Well, a very long heritage for Rotary. I'm assuming it began as a philanthropic or beneficial organization?
It actually started probably as one of the first business networking groups that decided the best way to network and to become friends is to do something for the community. which is how eventually we came with our model of service above self. And the service is targeted for community service, both locally, regionally, and internationally, as you basically covered in your intro.
Mm-hmm. I know the Rotary clubs have a kind of a basic motto or set of principles that is common to all individual clubs. Just tell us a little bit about the basic principles, things that you affirm every time you meet.
Well, we affirm that we want to make sure that what we do has its roots in being beneficial to all concerned. We have like a four-way test we go through. I don't want to put our audience through that regiment right now, but basically it boils down to high ethics, service to our community, and allows us to get out, roll up our sleeves, do local work. That's the service above ourselves motto coming in, mm-hmm. as well as raise money through our own pockets, and the community has been so generous to help us with our targeted programs and events that we put on.
Now, I know that there are literally hundreds of Rotaries around the region. What is the specific mission of the Longwood Rotary? Do you kind of fine-tune it a little bit to the area or the culture, et cetera?
Well, that's a great question, because every Rotary club has both autonomous to their community, because we feel that only the local club can understand what the local needs are. But we do follow a guiding principles of our Rotary International. So in a sense, we are kind of put together on a cohesive basis. And the laundry list that we follow is called the six areas of focus. And they range from promoting peace to fighting disease. We can talk about our mission polio later on. We provide clean water, sanitation, and hygiene for third world countries that, it's amazing how many people in the world do not have clean water. We work on programs that help save mothers and their children. And we also have programs that support education in our mm-hmm. both in our community and worldwide, as well as the fact that we do grow local economies. We do things that are good for everybody in the local region as well.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned in your earlier comments that the Rotary actually originally started as kind of a grouping of businessmen who wanted to get together and do things. Do most Rotaries have as at least a side option projects that kind of help enhance local businesses, small businesses, and otherwise?
Well, not directly in the sense that we provide funding or any type of gathering of our financial resources to help any one particular business. But a big however comes from the fact that because we are in a sense an extended family. If through our networking, because it's not against our rules to, in fact, we actually promote our businesses in a very appropriate manner to each other. So if there's an opportunity where if I need to have something done, I'm going to call my Rotarian plumber, my Rotarian electrician, my mm-hmm. Rotarian, whatever my needs are. So mm-hmm. we do a lot of work together and doing things together. Nothing makes you more familiar with somebody to sit on a project doing something for several hours at a time.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that. I know a lot of Rotary Club members kind of cross-pollinate their ideas and mention, well, by the way, if you need a good lawyer, I'm an attorney, or my brother's an attorney, what have you. Do you find a bit of overlap between those kinds of things and the actual projects? You often see that at your monthly meetings?
Actually, what makes us so significant to the community is that we do have such a diverse number of talents. Different organizations have different needs. We help charitable organizations that need administrative needs. We might have somebody who's good with legal documents and organization skills. That's a same or a different charity may need to have manpower and woman power, by mm-hmm. the way. Mm-hmm. We are now celebrating 30 years of women in the Rotary, the best decision we ever made. That little side note there.
That's great.
But the idea that we have hands-on skills that we can bring to the needs, both in the refurbishing of the where the charities themselves are headquartered, to the things they provide to their to the constituencies. It's a great way for you to tap resources and realize that one resource can bring what you need to the table.
That is very interesting. And, you know, by the way, I want to announce to our listeners, I have presented at several Rotary Club meetings, including the Longwood Rotary, over the years. Our listeners probably know that I'm an author, historian, and lecturer, and I've talked to many Rotary Clubs. The Longwood Rotary is really fun. It's literally right up the street from me. I live in Kennett Square, PA, and Longwood Gardens is, oh gosh, less than a five-minute drive from my house. So I really do enjoy going over to the Longwood Gardens and occasionally attending the Rotary meetings. I know you have meetings every single week, and some people would think, wow, that's a lot of meetings. Tell us about what happens at your typical meeting.
Well, first of all, that's correct. We do have our meetings every week. We are being also doing some experimental meetings that are working out pretty well. And I'll digress just for a second. I'll get back to your answer. We have the Kennett Club I mentioned earlier has sponsored what's known as a satellite club. And what they do, they're tied to the Kennett Square Club, and they meet just twice. They meet on a Sunday brunch, and then they meet at a service project, and that's how they're operating their club. But going back to your question, our typical meetings, we like yourself, as you've mentioned, we invite in speakers, as we consider you one of our local historians that keep us in perspective of where we've been. And we also have current matters, like this week we have a speaker coming in that's going to update us on the Kennett Library's future plans. And we also have a routine we call Happy Dollars, which is a way of kind of raising some funds to allow our members to speak up on what's important to them. So we spend about 5-10 minutes learning what's going on in their family, as well as perhaps they have a business announcement. But typically it's some proud parent or grandparent, you know, speaking up of what's going on. So it brings that family type of moment to the club. Mm-hmm. And then we do spend time talking about our upcoming projects and events. We have announcements that are made as far as trying to gather attendance and support from the various talents that we need. So mm-hmm. we have project managers on each event that are out there identifying which Rotarians would make sense to help fulfill that community's need at the time.
Yeah, I understand from my attendance and a few of your meetings, you've got quite a range of ages at in your group, from fairly young to, you know, a bit older people. Tell us about the range in the Longwood Rotary.
Longwood is probably one of the best diversified clubs out there. To give you some perspective, let me go back to what we do. We start with actually in the schools. We have a program called Early Act as well as Interact, which are secondary school-based clubs. We have another group that's called Rotaract, and that serves the 18 to 30-year-olds who have a little different spin on what they might like to do. So we give them, again, that autonomous opportunity to pick and choose what they'd like to do. But to be specific to the Longwood Rotary Club, based on our ages range from literally the in their 30s to, I'm sure we have members that are 80 years old. We have about 85 members altogether, and we happen to run a pretty good attendance rate where we're either one or number two, it seems like, every month in our district, which is in comparison to 50 other clubs in the Philadelphia area.
Oh, excellent. Now, some of these older people, longer-term members, I'll call them, they've been around for a long time. I've been to a few Rotary clubs. There were people in the Rotaries for 30, 40, even 50 years. Are there any in your group that have pretty long-standing status?
Absolutely. In fact, going back to the attendance, we have what's known as perfect attendance awards every year, and we have a few members that are in the 40s of years. Of course, that crosses over just our club, but we get attendance credit for not only being at our meetings, but also for participating at an event. So if you happen to miss one of those Thursday 6:30 a.m. meetings that we have, you can make it up by perhaps doing something that we're doing as a club that weekend.
Excellent. That is excellent. Well, we're going to take a brief break for a commercial, but stay on the line. We're talking with Bob Listerman of the Longwood Rotary in Chadsford, PA. We're back with Living History. I'm Gene Pasale. Today, we're talking with Bob Listerman of the Longwood Rotary Club in Chadsford, Pennsylvania. Bob is a longtime member of the Rotary. Bob, I understand the Rotary is focused on doing charitable work and reaching out to the community. Discuss some of the recent projects you've personally been involved in there at the Longwood Rotary.
My pleasure. Yes, we our community basically reaches from Chad's Ford through the Kennett Square, and we end up teaming up with other Rotary clubs outside that district. But basically what our club has been significant in is that every year for the Kennett Area Community Services, we bring together a project we call for school-age children book bags. The Kennett Area Community Service, otherwise known as a food cupboard, identifies the children that need to have school supplies who otherwise would not be able to accomplish what they can during the school year if they don't have the appropriate supplies. So a combination of them identifying the families that would qualify for our program, we pull together through purchasing and assembling the book bags that are age appropriate. They give us the demographics of how many students they have at each grade level, and these are primarily in the Kennett Consolidated School District. And we assemble those book bags. We have a lot of fun doing this, by the way. Nothing brings more us together than this one project.
Yeah.
But we will deliver 300 to 400 book bags for the area food cupboard, and sometimes we're able to help in part of the distribution of it. And I'll tell you, not only do we have fun doing it, you can't believe how we feel when we're handing it out and the looks on those children's faces when they get a jam pack full of
I bet that's great.
And briefly covering a couple other ones is that we were significant in starting Family Promise, which is an organization out in the West Grove area that helps families who have become suddenly homeless. Last year or so, 422 students were impacted by homelessness. Imagine how that affects them. And so we were able to help them get started, and now they're being sustained by many of the local places of worship. And our club also participated in both the manager, project management, engineering, and financial resource for playground equipment that was installed at Nancy B. Nixon Park. And the reason for that was it's friendly for all capable or type children to enjoy. And we also do a lot of work with the Kennett Area Senior Center. We actually turned their bookstore in downtown Kennett Square from a into a profitable enterprise that has continuously given them dividends of monies towards the seniors and the needs in the community.
Oh, I've been there many times. By the way, if you haven't been to downtown Kennett Square, there's two great bookstores. One is Macaluso's Rare Books, which is a great place for rare items and first editions. But also right up the street on the other side is the Kennett Square Resale Bookshop, which is a great place to buy books, and many of them very inexpensive.
Absolutely. And one thing that's neat about everything we touch is that we usually have a Rotarian inside, meaning that we have an active member of our club who independently has chosen on their own to be supportive of an organization. So we have people that are literally on the boards and do community project work on their own with Family Promise. We have a member of the Kennett Symphony of Chester County is in our club. He's actually the board president right now. We help with Kennett-run charities. We have people that are on that board. I'm personally on the Kennett Area Senior Center, as well as the Southern Chester County Government and Community Relations Committee. And we have members on the La Comunidad Hispana and local school district board. So by having Rotarians involved, it ensures that what we provide is the help that they need and in a fiduciary manner.
Oh, that is great. Now, I've been to many different Rotary groups, and one thing that strikes me is that there are essentially an unlimited number of good charities out there, or good causes, I should say, to fund. How in the world do you come up with a ranking to decide, well, we're going to actually give our money and efforts to this one?
Well, it does go based on, the first of all, we look forward to meet one of the areas of focus I mentioned before. And it's usually the community itself through, once in a while, we'll do what's known as a community assessment. That allows us to reach out to the various municipalities and organizations to see what they have on their plate and see how we can help. But most of it does come from our own members' entrenched involvement, as well as their friends and family who identify a need. And we circulate that through the membership, and we give it a nod, and next thing you know it, they're going to get help.
That is great. I would think that the Longwood Rotary, since it's been very active, has interacted with a lot of groups that need assistance. And I guess the next question is, why should someone consider joining a Rotary Club?
Well, it comes down, do you care about your community? Do you want your community to advance in its services to itself. Are you interested in your home values? You see, it all comes back to what's in it for me, right? That famous radio station you all joke about.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to get out and you want to, you know, spend an hour or two, maybe just once a month to help us or be a part of a Rotary Club, it's the idea that you are gaining friendships and doing something worthy for your community. It's, hate to say it, it just makes you feel good.
Now, the Rotary is one of many groups, and several of them longstanding, that does interact with the community. One of them is the Lions, also the Elks, and Kiwanis. Tell us how the Rotary Club maybe differs a little bit from some of those other groups.
Well, I can't speak too much about the other groups because I'm not involved with them, but I do know that we meet more often. We seem to have a very regular presence in the community. However, we do work with those groups. We've teamed up with the Lions and the Kiwanis's and, I like to say, Tigers and Bears. mainly because we all are in it for the same reason, for community service. But as you know, Lions, they focus on eye care, health care for their eyes. I know that much about them. They provide great services with glasses for those that don't have them. We would participate in that as well if and as asked. As I mentioned earlier, our focus has been on the elimination of polio in the world. In fact, we're almost there. We had 34 cases last year, and we've only had 5 cases this year. We've gone from 350,000 cases a year back in the 80s when we struck up this goal, and now we've eradicated polio in almost every corner of the world, and just a few are still coming up. And again, that's another project that Rotarians themselves go out on these trips and give the children the medicine they need to inoculations, if you will. But it's not as bad as it sounds because it's just a few drops of this liquid that we put on their tongue and mark their finger as having received it. And we've been so successful with the program that we're able to go to places that most people can't go.
You know, that is a fascinating thing you just mentioned about the Rotary being involved with eradication of polio. Where did that project begin? I mean, obviously the polio vaccine's been around for, I think, well over 50 years. How did you get involved, and what was the impetus for the Rotary, either on a local or an international basis, to go ahead and pursue that project?
That's a great question, and now you're going to challenge my memory, but if my memory serves me correct, it started by an initiative by one Rotarian, I believe, in the Philippines, if I'm not mistaken, who decided that they wanted to do this project back in the 50s. As you know, the vaccination or the cure, I say cure because it's not a cure, but the to help prevent polio was discovered. And they decided, let's do this locally. It branched out from there. We were quite successful in our own independent efforts. Then we ended up being recognized by the World Health Organization, who joined us. And then we've been truly blessed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who has joined, partnered with us. In fact, Bill will be at our international conference in Atlanta, and I'm sure he's going to talk about where we're at with the project. And they have done many challenging capital campaigns where they'll raise 2-to-1 for us. Now we raise $1,000, and the Bill and Melinda Gates is right now matching that with $2,000. So you can see how excited we are, the type of momentum and that have been put behind our project. And I say that over the last 5 years, it's just really come together.
That is a great and very noble cause, and I commend you and all Rotarians for having put forth your efforts to help eradicate polio. That is just a great, great thing to be proud of. Tell us a little bit about some of the events you have planned for the coming weeks and months.
Sure, I'd be happy to. We have in our local Kennett Square area, we have what's known as the Kennett Charitable Run, which raises a great deal of monies for our local charities. We have, as I said before, a member on that board, as well as we're providing road marshals to help keep people safe during that event that's coming up on the 20th. This weekend, we have, we're in support of the Kennett Rotary Club and their Pet Fest, which is going to be a great day at Anderson Nixon Park, where the pets are going to come together and call it like a big dog park day. And there's a lot of vendors there that have, you know, great ideas for your pets and health checks. So if you have a suitable pet to bring to the to bring out, I highly encourage you to do that. I think the event goes from noon until about 4. So please come out on the predicted sunny day we're going to have. We have another member who is participating in the Philadelphia Susan G. Komen Walk. In fact, that member raised $5,000. At least that was her commitment. And between us and her own drive, I'm sure she'll make it. That's coming up on Mother's Day.
Well, that's great.
That's a worthy cancer screening service that's provided for those who otherwise could not afford that type of
service. That's excellent. Yeah, that is excellent.
That's just what we're doing in May.
Wow, you know? you've really got a full plate. It sounds like you have something just about every week or every couple of weeks. Tell us about the Longwood Rotary website. How do you get to it, and what can people expect to find there?
Well, it's a straightforward longwoodrotary.com.
Okay.
And you'll find representation of our membership, activities that we do. Every year we have what's known as a gala. We have it. We hold it at Longwood Gardens. We raise a significant amount of the money that we do provide back to the community through that event. We have a lot of fun. Our next gala, which is actually going to be announced to our club this week, is going to be March 3rd. So right now, if you go to our site, you're going to see our most recent gala that happened. And we invite the public to join us at that fun event as well.
That's great. How can someone join the Rotary? And if, let's just say some of our listeners have an interest, what should they do? Talk to a friend, test out a couple of meetings. Just tell us about how somebody goes about joining the Rotary Club. Is it a process?
Well, with the advent of the internet, it's quite simple. Most Rotarians are going to be interested in what's happening in the community that they live or work. So we suggest that you go to rotary.org, and on there they have a find a club. And you go through, you know, saying where you're from, it'll give you a list of clubs near you. And then I'd recommend that you just go visit. Everyone's invited. In fact, most clubs, particularly ours, well, first-time visitors, the normal meeting fee meal is on us. We'll be happy to spring for the $14 we charge for our breakfast. And the Kennett Club charges like $15 for their lunch, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would just say check them out. Every club is, as I said, is autonomous. They have different characterizations of makeup as far as numbers and demographics of age and gender. And so I would say, you know, kick the tires and then make sure you got Longwood Rotary on that list.
Excellent, excellent.
We'll have you on your way to work by 8 a.m. we meet at around 6:30.
Okay.
We actually meet at Longwood Gardens in the Terrace Restaurant. And if it's inclement weather, we do have transportation that's provided by the gardens on our behalf. It's a wonderful relationship we have with Longwood Gardens. I just want to put a shout out. They've been very good to us. We, in turn, do things for them as well. We provide the pedestrian crosswalk safety during the holiday season, during the peak times. Those are Rotarians that are monitoring the traffic, the foot traffic. And it looks like we're going to be helping them during the fireworks with the same type of activity, and also helping to manage chairs that are brought in too early to be placed in the gardens. We're going to do a chair check for them.
Excellent, excellent. Bob, thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, be sure to tune in next Wednesday, May 17th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, when we'll be speaking with Neil Ronk, historian of the historic Christ Church in downtown Philadelphia. Thank you all for tuning in today to Living History.